It's the best Kiwi event in New Zealand, this.
Crossing New Zealand in 1 or 2 days.
Why do I do it? Because I love it.
3, 2, 1, go!
Ah, and there it is, that ever-exciting welcome, Clip. Hey, Richard Greer, welcome back to the Kathmandu Coast to Coast podcast, season 5, episode 6. This is the exciting one.
It is pre-race, just about ready to roll. Not many sleeps to go now.
How many sleeps? Have you counted or what?
I haven't counted. I just think of that on our intro. It's like, there's still a few there, but there's not many.
There's not still double figures, though. We're sort of 2 weeks out, aren't we? 2 and a bit weeks out.
Yeah, at least. Depending on when you're listening or watching this, etc. We've still got a bit of time.
Well, that's right. If you're listening to this now and you're on the way to the West Coast, I'm hoping that you're only just listening to this as a bit of a refresher, not your first time round.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there'll still be some gems, I'm sure, that will help you out on race day. We'll bring something for you, I'm sure.
I'm sure. Hey, mate, look, how good. Great to be back. 2024 is officially upon us. It's here. We're halfway through. What are we now? Oh, we're nearly three quarters of the way through January, aren't we? That first one's gone. And of course, as we know, that second weekend in February rolls around for the Kathmandu Coast. First weekend it'll be, actually, won't it? First, second? How does that fall?
I'm not sure. Probably second. We'll call it second.
Something like that. Anyway, just depends on where that falls. Mate, how are you getting on? You yourself, once again, lining up?
Yeah, I'm sucking for punishment, eh? Just thrashing myself. What am I doing?
Okay. Well, I think there's probably still something there inside you that wants something.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I think it's interesting, isn't it? And we'll talk about this throughout the podcast tonight in terms of getting yourself set. But I think it comes back to just wanting to nail the race. Like last year, I was cramping like a dog into the run. So that was a bit ugly. And then my boat was sinking. So that wasn't that flash. So just tidy those things up, really, just to know that I can feel like I've nailed it a little bit is the job.
There's a couple of things you have actually done to try and tidy that up, haven't you?
That's right.
What did you do with your boat?
I got a new one, so that helped.
that was pretty easy, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's sorted. Yeah, so Ricky from Nautique Kayaks has sorted us out with his new N1, which is awesome, and just a little bit more stable too, actually. I've been waiting for that 35 cubic river in my old Evo Edge, but that's sort of never really happened. So slightly more stable, which means you can paddle it a bit harder without those sort of squeaky strokes that aren't going quite so well. And I've just been doing a bit of bike racing as well, actually. That's different, isn't it? It's one thing riding for yourself and with a couple of mates, but to be hurt by a bunch of people that know how to ride bikes is quite impressive.
Well, you know how to ride a bike, Richard. There's no doubting that. But you've been actually something we're talking about. You've been down with the Timbald Cycling Club there in Ashburton. They run a fantastic race series all year round.
They do. They only had like a week or so off for Christmas and they're back into it. They're so good. So you turned up and accidentally managed to win the first one last week, which I lit up. I was like, hang on a second, I might have a chance here. We caught the final group with like 3Ks to go and another friend actually did a big lead out for a long time and then managed to sort of surf some wheels and get home by a squidgeon. And then today they put me on the very last break on scratch with a bunch of Tourist Southland riders, so that was a different killer fish altogether. Stayed with them for about 5 minutes and just went poof, blew up, and so that was me, really. So that's very impressive how they ride bikes, and turned around and then found another group and then rode with them. So I went backwards and sort of rode with the same group as last week anyway. So still had a good ride. It was good. And a bit of running before and after as well, which I don't think helped my sort of hanging with those big dogs. So, yeah, good value anyway.
And look, this week, it's just been this weekend, it's actually just been as we record this, we've seen once again, and we see this just about every year leading up to the coast, we've seen the Wimac absolutely bank itself. It peaked at like 450 or something, did it the other night?
Which isn't super high. I was expecting it to be a bit higher, to be honest. The Rakaia got up to above 1,000, so that was, which is a bigger river, but... I don't think it was sort of going to change. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. But I was expecting it sort of to a big flood and then really wash things out and be completely different. So it'll be interesting to see what it looks like after this bit of water that's come down. But I don't think it's going to be too easily different. And it might have been sort of happened up in the Deception a little bit more, but I mean, it was getting pretty slimy. It hadn't rained much up there, so the rocks were pretty slippery, slimy. So maybe that might have rolled a few over and made conditions just slightly better potentially.
Right. So you reckon a cleansing up there is actually not a bad thing.
Yeah, no, it is a good thing. It gets a bit brown and slimy as we go. And I ran over the goat pass with Sam Manson, current champion of the longest day, and Ben Williams, a young fella who is you're looking to go sub 250 for the mountain run. So yeah, that was another sort of put me in my place of situation. Those boys just bounce across the rocks. I felt old and heavy, to be honest. I'd say Ben Williams looked like Sonic the Hedgehog as he was just moving across the terrain, which is pretty awesome. So yeah, good value getting up and sort of sussing things out a little bit more.
You've been well educated over the last couple of weeks, then, is that right?
Yeah. Dealt to.
You've been schooled. Right. You've been schooled. And Sam, how was he looking? Was he going hard that day, or was he just?
No, he was just cruising. Like Ben and him were sort of sussing things out. Ben's sort of lives on the coast and been over the mountain run a lot, so they were just doing a sort of a bit of a recce run kind of thing. So let an old man kind of tag along, which was nice of them. They did one particular line. They said, "Oh, go back and have another look at that." So I was like, "Oh well, you go and do that, and I'll just carry on up to Goat Pass." So that was a wee moment to make sure that I got up to the top of Goat Pass before they caught me again. So,
but did you miss out on a sneaky cheeky line though?
Potentially, but you have to win one or two, don't you? Somehow.
So is that what goes on up there? Those guys are busy, sort of still to this day. Obviously, like you say, it does change a bit up there, but still to this day, are still looking for that next little advantage, that next little trick. Getting up through there.
Yeah, that's right. And I learned a couple of things down in the Deception that I hadn't been before, actually. And I think Sam did as well. So a couple of just slightly better lines. So yeah, it all helps. But yeah, it is impressive, isn't it, that no matter how much time you spend, there's always just little bits to sort of pick and learn, because things do move around a little bit. It was a good day out. Good to kind of keep them in sight. They didn't disappear completely.
And have you got any tips, any sneaky somethings that are going up there we can share with the listeners? What can you report back? Coach Richard, what can you report back to everybody?
I think every time I do that run, I always go somewhere slightly different. So I'm probably not great to, and it's really hard to actually describe this particular bit. I think the key thing is like Glenn will go up the week off and mark sort of a course out, which he does a pretty good job at. And I think the key thing is just not doubting yourself, not backtracking, just back yourself, look up, make a call and just go for it, and you'll be going in the right direction and just keep on keeping on. There's sometimes quite a few other people in front of you, etc. Don't just follow the leader. They don't necessarily know where they're going. So keep your head up and keep an eye out for those tracks and trails, and don't just cross back the river because you feel like, oh, that's a bit better. Actually, crossing a river does take time, so sometimes it's best just to hang on the side you're on, and then it goes okay sometimes. So yeah, just back yourself, I think, and have some fun with it, and you'll go all right.
And I assume Glenn's going to go up there with his rucksack and he's full of pigtails and steaks and clamber his way up through there. Like, it's hard enough just getting up there as it is sometimes for some people, and yet Glenn will lug a backpack up there with a whole lot of markers.
He does a good job of that, actually, because he puts a fair few out, those Waratahs up there. So yeah, it's quite impressive. I think he just likes a bit of time out and not having to answer questions and sort of being in the office for a day or so, sort of 3 days out from the event.
Yeah. Well, it's leading up. It's getting close, mate. So here we are again, like I say, our Kathmandu Coast to Coast podcast. Our podcast, as you know, and I'm sure you'll have all heard me say this before, but really, this is all about us trying to help you get from that west coast of the South Island all the way across to the east coast, touching the water at both ends, taking a stone with you along the way, all of those traditional ritual things that you do along, you know, on this coast to coast journey. It's been another fabulous season, Rich, and tonight a couple of really good guests.
Absolutely, yeah. So we've got Deb Lynch, who is a bit of a heavy hitter for the longest day women. She had her debut last year, placed six out of nowhere. Not necessarily out of nowhere. She's obviously a pretty awesome athlete. So she's gone away, done her homework, had a hang out up at Arthur's Pass, paddled the river, got down the mountain run, and sort of tried to become one with her time trial bike as well. So yeah, really looking forward to having a chat to Deb, see where she's at and what she's most looking forward to for race day, her goals, etc. And then also having a chat actually to a good mate, Andy Sloan, who's coming back. I used to race with Andy in the old days, sort of in the early 2000s. And Andy's making his comeback in 2024 after a number of years away from the event. And it's a pretty special one for him as well. So looking forward to sharing Andy's story with you guys and what it means to him to stand on the start line.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, interesting, we talk about Deb's coming in there. I don't know if you've seen, but that female start list, that top 10 start list, man, has that got some talent in it? It's got some experience in it, and that's going to be one heck of a close race.
It really is, isn't it? It's pretty cool. And there's been some absolutely ding-dong battles in the past, hasn't there, in the men's and women's field. So it's great how it unfolds. And I think that's the thing with this coast-to-coast. In every level, you don't quite know how things are going to go. There's gear breakages and there's stuff that happens, and people have good days and people have not so good days. So it just comes down to keep on keeping on and see what happens, just to keep hanging in there. So it's going to be really interesting to see how the race unfolds this year and what war stories come out of that.
Well, we'll be able to tell all of those war stories in that week after the Coast to Coast with our final podcast for the year, when we wrap up what will be an absolute epic event at the 2024 Kathmandu Coast to Coast. But for now, let's bring Deb into the fold. Let's bring her to the her first start line for this race. Getting here, getting to this podcast, Deb, that's the first goal ticked, I can tell you.
Once I figured out the settings, yeah, it really was.
got the video going all over it. Well done, Deb. That's fantastic. So, Deb, your first attempt last year, give us a bit of a background on Deb Lynch. What has she done in the past? Like you mentioned that running is your strongest thing. Tell me a little bit about your background and how you come to lining up for the Kathmandu Coast to Coast.
I was a semi-professional, I guess, triathlete until about 2020, when there was this thing called COVID that hit. I sort of world locked down, and that was a sort of a nice sort of ending to my triathlon career. And I think I'd always sort of been interested in coast to coast. Had read about it, all these cool stories, all these, I remember seeing like in a magazine, I don't know, as a kid, an article of, I think it was about Sophie Hart, and I just thought she looked so badass. And I was like, I want to be like her. And then yeah, I think cool. Emily Miazga came to a prize giving, and I was like, oh my goodness, she is really badass. And I just wanted to be like them. But that didn't quite fit with my triathlon life at the time. Once I sort of stepped away from triathlon, and suddenly coast to coast became an option. And that's how I got into it, I guess.
How good. That's awesome. So obviously you're pretty handy at riding a bike and comfortable enough around the water. How's your paddling? How have you gone learning to paddle and getting up to speed there?
That was, I think 2022, I believe, was quite a confronting year. I took to paddling like relatively comfortably, I thought, on the flat water. But then as soon as I hit moving water, it was, there were many garage sales on the Wimac, my first year paddling on it. So I took my strength of swimming from triathlon a little too to heart, with paddling. So, I was a very good swimmer on the Wimac.
Not as efficient though, unfortunately.
Alas.
Yeah.
But it's slowly gotten better. I'm way more comfortable on the boat. I've spent the last year, I think, learning to paddle a K1, and just for something else to do, but also to help me with my paddling in my multi-sport boat. It's done really well.
Nice one. And that's a great way to keep you motivated, isn't it? Because kayaking is about mastery, a lot of it as well. And if you have to drag your butt down to try and figure out how to paddle this K1 in the middle of winter, well, it's good. But if you're sort of comfortable in your other boat, you maybe don't put quite the effort in than you would otherwise.
Oh, yeah. There's learning to paddle a K1 has been very character building over the winter. when like driving down and it's like 2 degrees. Oh crap, I know I'm gonna fall in.
Hope you didn't bring on too much of those swimming skills in winter in Wellington, paddling a K1, did you?
Oh no, I did. I think my record was 5 seconds from leaving the wharf to being in the water.
Oh no, that's not good at all. Well, there's a whole new bunch of research around ice baths, so we'll maybe put a tick in that box. That's good. So on recovery, that's awesome.
And it must really drive motivation to actually get better and stay in it, right?
Oh, like you have no idea. I think I managed 2 hours this morning and I didn't swim, so I'm still swimming, but it's like the water at least is warm now in summer.
Okay. Good stuff. So how are you feeling 2 weeks out from race day, given that you're sort of, you're not unknown this time around? You've you might have a bit of a big cross on the back, and I'm sure those athletes that are ranked sort of 1, 2, 3, etc., are looking around to see how Deb's shaping up. How are you feeling?
Pretty good. Had a good block down south over the summer. Did some laps of the Waimak and good run over Goat Pass, and those went pretty well. It's hard to tell, right? Like, you can feel really good and then on the day it all falls to pieces. Or not falls to pieces, but you know, well, yes it can. Strong, I guess. And no injuries at the moment, so yeah, we're all looking pretty good.
Nice. So what have you changed in your build-up this year? Because it's part of this thing. I talked earlier about some of the things that I've changed as I've done this race a few times now. What have you changed in your build-up? Obviously, the K1. Is there any other things that you've sort of tweaked to try and emphasise this time around?
Spent a lot more time on a time trial bike this last year. I had borrowed a bike for last year's coast, and so I managed to get onto Facebook Marketplace and picked up a dunger of a TT bike and worked my way through that all of last year. And then the other thing I think is just trying to dial in my nutrition, because that did not go well last year. And so just practicing more, just being better at eating during bike rides, especially and runs, just to get my body used to it.
So that wasn't the wrong type of food or something, that was just not being able to physically eat, or both?
I'd say that the first. I decided it would be a really good idea to have a mandarin before going on the bike, on the kayak, just on the run down from Mount Whitehouse. Like, you know what I feel like? I feel like having a mandarin. And then like 30 seconds into the paddle, it just...
That's not good. That's not good.
And it was a really long day after that.
Yeah, that's
so
rough.
So no mandarins. Better nutrition.
Yeah, good stuff. And you've got to learn that. And it's a bit about variety, isn't it? But just keep the mandarins to the at arm's length this time around. What are you most looking forward to? What are you most excited about this heading into this year's event?
I guess just seeing the improvements, I hope, from last year. I think you're talking earlier about you're just wanting to just nail a few things. And like last year, I cramped up like nobody's business at the end of that first bike ride. And I was like, okay, this is a long day. And so that could be tied to nutrition. Hoping to see the improvements I've made over the last year, because I've worked pretty hard at trying to stay upright in a boat and getting some time on that TT bike. I'd like to see that come to fruition on the day.
That's good to hear. I mean, someone like yourself that's racing pretty well high up at the end of the field, like if you're cramping and it's got a bit ugly, your race isn't over if that's starting to happen. You've just got to keep on keeping on, don't you?
I thought it was got like that was a bit early doors to start cramping then, but I managed to fluff my way through the rest of the run. There are some choice videos I think still on the Coast to Coast Instagram stories of my fantastic running at that stage, and I still managed to get my way to the end, so it wasn't the end of the day. But it just made it a little more uncomfortable, and I'd like to see that not happen. So just to see improvements from last year, and also it's really cool, my brother is racing as well one day, so the whole family's involved, so it'll be good to see how close I can get to him at the end of the day.
Oh, that's awesome. I've actually got a question along that, because you've said in your notes that your dad is supporting with your sister, and your mum is number one cheerleader. It doesn't feel like your brother's got much support there. Like, you seem like you've claimed most of it. What's happened there?
Well, I got the entry first, so I was able to claim first. No, I've got some other mates as well.
Okay, you're my mum too. You're just cheerleading here. Yeah, that's tough. Nice work, nice work. And another question, thinking along those family lines. You've got a very iconic last name in the world of adventure sports. Are you related in any way to the great Cathy Lynch, who has dominated this race a few years ago?
Not that I know of. I mean, there are a few Lynches, but no.
Okay.
There's a whole mob of them, right?
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So your key goal, by the sounds of it, actually, as we dial into this, is actually to beat your brother. Is that correct?
It would get some pretty good bragging rights.
Yeah. What do you reckon your chances are? Like, are you sort of head to head, sort of reasonably even, or what are your thoughts?
We're trying to work this out, and he's got me on the river. His paddling's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think he'll still have me, but like, if I can keep it within half an hour, I'll be pretty stoked.
Okay.
Is this your tactics?
Say that again.
Is this his first time?
He was my support crew last year.
The old support crew to athlete trick. Oh, yeah, we've seen that 1,000 times along the way. But there you go. You've got a year's worth of experience. You just tell them to run up the left-hand side. Never leave the left-hand side. Just run up the left-hand side. Give them that advice.
So your tactics are basically to lead them into the boat and give them someone to chase and see what happens.
Well, kind of. That was my tactic last year.
Yeah, good stuff. Like it. That's awesome. So getting to the finish line at New Brighton, in your eyes, what would success look like?
I like it. There'll be a lot of people that won't watch this and that will be listening to this as a podcast. Jim is just laid down, holding their fingers up with the big W. How about that?
Oh, I mean, that would be great, but like, the start list is so good. So it would just be, I guess, going to Big W.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. I've never actually seen that one before. Maybe that's my issue. I haven't figured that one out yet before.
Have you never needed to use it, Richard?
I've never figured that out.
The other day you did on the bike, you did.
Yeah, that's awesome, Deb. Like, I think it's important, isn't it, just to throw it out there and back yourself as well. I think it's Kiwi, sometimes we don't do that enough, do we? So just throw it down and give it a good crack and see what happens.
Well, I was doing it last year, just the wrong half.
Right, yes. Yeah. Good, so bring it home stronger this time with your TT bike, in that boat, and with some decent nutrition and who knows what's going to happen. So, yeah, pretty exciting.
Yeah, yep.
Good job. And finally, what's training look like for you in the next couple of weeks leading into race day? What's a key session that you're going to be lining up?
Oh, any taper session. Just bringing some strides back into some of my runs just to sharpen it up. Mm-hmm. Just be nice to have some sessions under an hour. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, nice.
With some key sessions. Yeah, anything just with some strides and some like sprints on the bike just to sharpen it up and keep myself fresh again. Yeah.
No, so get a bit of a spring in your step, get some excitement going on, feel like you're useful and you can get ready to give it heaps.
Yeah, hold on to that wheel up, like off the line from the start.
Yeah, good stuff, Deb. Well done.
There'll be some new tyres and things going on the bike, is there?
Oh, yeah, slicks.
Yeah.
Brand spanking. Match ready. Sticker tires. Yeah, nice. Nice. Very good.
Well done, Deb. Hey, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Really looking forward to catching you over at registration pre-race and go and give it absolutely everything and looking forward to cheering you across the finish line in New Brighton. Hopefully your last bit of build-up goes well and just go and lay it down and give it heaps. Looking forward to cheering you along the way.
All right. Thanks, guys. It's awesome.
Cool. Thanks, bye, Deb.
See you. You just said something quite interesting there. Well, not interesting. Well, everything you say is interesting, isn't it? But, registration on the Thursday over there in Greymouth. If you are in a support crew or whatever, do come down and have a look around. There's lots of stuff going on at registration and all the all the big hitters will be in and out at some stage. Debs, she'll be there with her big W raised as she walks in the door there, just to put the fear up everybody else, you know, just, you know. But yeah, but hey, yeah, registration's a great day. I really enjoy the Thursday, talking to everybody as everybody funnels in, gets their bag, gets their race kit, all their numbers and their stickers and all those sort of things. And it's sort of that real trigger to that excitement of what the weekend's going to bring that day, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? And there's no times that you need to be there. You don't have to pre-book your time like previous. Obviously, it's quieter earlier in the day, and there will be some queues later in the day as a lot of people just turn up to register prior to the briefing. So depending on how much you want to deal with queues, figure out your times and things. But great opportunity to sort of, as you say, socially catch up with a few others from previous years and just look around and soak it in. But yeah, really, really great sort of atmosphere at registration and getting fired up and ready to go. I think the other thing is don't be too psyched out. There's always lots of fit-looking people on that day with really fast-looking legs and all that sort of stuff. You're like, oh, heck, all these people look so fit. How am I even going to do this? But, hey, just stick to your game plan and remember the training and the things that you've done, because you're ready to go to achieve your race and your goal. So just remind yourself of that, because it can be a bit of a oh, heck, what am I doing here type of a moment as well.
They might all be like me, Richard, all show, no go.
You've got quite a bit of show though, so
there is always another one to all the gears. I better not say that on here, but I
no, that's good. Yeah, but you'll be there cheering people along, so you've got behind the microphone again this year, Angus.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, no, we'll be there Thursday. Obviously, we'll have a CB tent inside the registration there, and please come along and say hello and yeah, come and generally chew the fat there for a bit. Tell us what you've enjoyed about the podcast and what maybe you're looking forward to throughout the race and things. So, yep, we'll be there on Thursday. And, yeah, and with a bit of luck, we'll be live from the beach on Friday morning, mate, as that sunrise comes up and that water crashes in there. Always love just to get on that beach and see how the tension is and see how the nerves are with everybody. And from then on, hopefully all going well, we'll be up at that first transition as you come off that first run onto the bike and some Aitkins, Klondike, of course, we'll be everywhere. So if you can't come, if your supporters, if your family, or your supporters better be there actually to be fair, but if your family, friends, and anybody else that might be interested in following your progress or seeing what the Kathmandu Coast to Coast is actually like, do tune into the Team CP Facebook over the weekend of the Coast to Coast. We'll have plenty of content and lots of live streams rolling out of that all day long.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Coast to Coast Facebook page and Instagram and things, they will put their feed out. So keep them on one hand, and then our Team CP Facebook page will predominantly follow the 2-day. So it's a bit of a different angle to what the Coast to Coast often take, because obviously on the Saturday, that's where the longest day is happening. So often their focus is drawn back to that. So we'll sort of stick more of a 2-day focus for that. So yeah, keep an eye out for that. Angus does a great job. And I think he's already starting to bank some sleep and sort of doing some la 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 la's to get that voice ready, aren't you?
Just plenty of lubrication going on there, mate. My nearly ready to start tapering, actually, mate. At the end of this podcast, I can start tapering.
Oh, can you? All right. That's quite a long taper. Okay, interesting. That's good. Hey, I just want to touch on a story from our last podcast. We mentioned Rob Glassford, who accepted his Coast to Coast spot just 8 weeks out from race day with no previous experience. He booked his kayak course over Christmas and New Year's, and then and like in this podcast, we said reach out if you want a bit of a chat or a hand. So he did that. We've got him set up with a bit of a plan of attack. And sort of thought I'd just sort of update on how he's going. It's quite a cool story, actually, just because a lot of people, like, that wait list just went chum 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 down really quickly, because no one wants to take on this race sort of with a month or two to go. So he was support crew last year, and he shelved the idea of actually turning up, opened a beer with another beer, which was quite a skillful sort of situation, sat down with his family's size bag of chips and got into it. But so what he's done, I messaged him today and he gave me a bit of an update. So this is it. Having swapped the craft beers for low carb alternatives and a bag of chips for carrot sticks, the body's better fueled for this gargantuan challenge he mentioned. So we sat down, made a bit of a plan, and he's getting a lot more organized now. So cycling's coming along well. and starting to get that one dialed in. Kayaking, he's had a bit of a challenge with the kayaking. He's gone across to the Murchison School across that Christmas New Year period, and he's battled all in all. He's what do you say here? So his first attempt at a single kayak was somewhat of a fail. I've arrived at the estuary just down the road from home to find windy, choppy conditions. My experienced friend stepped on his boat, paddled out like it was on wheels, no wobbles. I gingerly, awkwardly attempted to enter the surprisingly small hole at the top of the boat. Once seated, I then proceeded to battle with a spray skirt. It would have sounded like someone giving birth. Heavy breathing, pushing, counting, calls of nearly there, keep stretching, could be heard from the beach. Once I had secured this incredibly simple but very frustrating device, I asked my dad to walk me out to knee-deep water. Almost completely, immediately tipped over, feeling very uncomfortable and nervous, and made the decision to throw my toys and go back to the beach. And then he went to Lake Rua, which was a whole lot better. Warm, calm, and then he started to get a little bit of paddling going on as well, which is pretty awesome. The crew over at Murchison were super calm, and he's got to the point of actually being able to roll a whitewater boat and his own boat as well, which is pretty awesome. Basically, he's got a basic beginner boat. He's nervous, but he knows he's safe and has the skills to stay in one piece on race day. So he's fired up basically and ready to go. So and he's still in one piece, which is pretty awesome as well. No injuries or illnesses as well. So that's pretty cool from Rob's perspective.
I can just visualize the description about trying to get that spray skirt and things on. You can visualize it, can't you? You're nearly there, you've got it, then it pops off from the other side. Get it on. God damn, yep, yeah. Actually, right. I was looking for a clip and I can't find it, but I don't know if you happened to catch it. And it was on Instagram or Facebook or something. I'm not sure. And unfortunately, I can't remember even who it was. I just got this vision that wherever they were in the country and they have no Waimakariri to practice on, and they only got flat water. And so over the Christmas period, here they are in the wake of the boat. So they've got the outboard ski boat out in the front, and here they are paddling in the wake, creating their own ramps. So I thought, man, that was really some really, you know, Kiwi ingenuity there to create some instability.
Yeah, he's done very well. And I think on that point from Rob, in terms of he's dialing things in a little bit now, I think one key point for everyone out there lining up for race day is, I mean, don't look at what other people are doing, but think about the number one goal is you want to get to the start line in one piece and injury free. And if you've done that, you're halfway through. That's a big thing achieved. So just think about, if you're going to do this session today, is that going to actually make me better or make me worse for race day? The last thing we want is injuries by pushing too hard and potentially getting crook as well. So just look after yourself. And if you need to take a day or two off because the family is sick and you're not feeling 100%, take a day or two off early. Don't push things. And that'll help you stand on the start line. And fitness isn't so important. It's freshness that's most important. If you're fit as a fiddle but sick versus unfit and fresh, you're going to be going so much better if unfit and fresh. You're useless if you're sick. So just look after yourself there. Keep yourself in one piece. And if you do that, you'll be miles ahead. So keep a sort of eye on that as you go.
Is that something you start to worry about now? Like this close out about sickness? You know, COVID has been absolutely rampant again lately, isn't it?
That's right.
I don't want to give the commentators curse here, but
no.
Is it going through your head like, now do I not go here? Do I not go to the supermarket? Mm. Do I?
Yeah. Well, I've got 7 people currently that I'm coaching that have got COVID or come down with it last week or so. It's like, and we've just got to work through it. It's nothing you can do about it. It's just got to do the best you can. It's last Thursday, I had 2 people that messaged me about twingy, dodgy Achilles as calf muscles. And I'd just done some skipping on Tuesday and done some horrendous steer reps on Wednesday. And my calves were feeling a bit rubbish. And I was going to run Mount Oxford on Friday. I was like, actually, maybe that's the universe telling me I should just chill out and maybe not do that. So although I wanted to and would have been good to do, I actually said, okay, well, let's go and paddle and ride my bike instead. Just to get to the start line in one piece, hopefully.
Yep. So no need to put yourself in a complete isolation bubble, but
that's right.
But need to be starting to think about those things. If you're going to do something, I guess now's the time to do it and have some fun doing it, I suppose, isn't it? You've done, should have done all of the hard sessions and
that's right.
back-to-back sessions.
So, the same way that Deb was talking. Brilliant. Shall we roll along? We've got Andrew Sloan, Andy, sitting in the back of the studio there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really, really keen, Andy. Welcome, mate.
Hey, thanks for having me along, guys.
Great to have you on the show, Andy. Your 2024, it's going to be a pretty awesome event achievement to stand on that start line, soak up the event and be a part of it. But do you want to just give us a bit of a background? When did you first tackle the Coast to Coast and why are you looking to make a comeback in 2024? Tell us a bit more about your story.
Absolutely. First Coast to Coast, rind right back to 2002. And it's a very long time ago for us old people. Myself, I lined up for the two-day event, you know, just fresh out of university and first couple of years into working career. And I think, Richard, it might have been probably your first or second year would have been about similar time back in the day. 2002, rolled up two-day event, and that went smoothly, lots of learning, and it was, you know, just it becomes sort of an addiction. And, you know, flowing on from that first Coast, 2003, 4, 5, and 6. I lined up and did 5 of the longest days following that.
Wicked.
That was my sort of story into that. And, you know, it's, you know, I love it. You know, the run through Goat Pass, possibly one of the best runs you'll come across in the countryside. And then following that up with the beautiful Waimak. And, you know, once you as a competitor can put away all those, I guess you'd call them fictitious stories of those buffer waves and standing waves, 3 meters tall that scare everybody. You just get in that boat and just, you know, really enjoyed all the elements of the race. And, you know, so those 5 previous events and the opportunity now to return 18 years after my last Coast to Coast.
18 years. Oh my goodness.
it's quite a gap, and most definitely, you know, so that last one being in 2006, it was, you know, I was your sort of hybrid weekend warrior working person. You'd turn up, you'd do what you did on the training that you'd been able to fit in around work and other things. And, you know, it was always, for me, it's always been based around an adventure. You know, I've never been there at the front of the field to win it. I've been there to push your own sort of own mental and physical boundaries.
Yep.
And so, 18 years on, I've got the opportunity to line back up, but there's been sort of a few speed bumps that have popped up in the phase of things in the last few years, which, Richard, you may be able to allude onto, and we can talk a bit more about there.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit more about that. It basically came out of a bike accident that you crashed your bike and then sort of ensued into brain scans and bits and pieces, didn't it? And what was that, 2018?
Yes.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about what happened there.
Yeah, it was end of 2017, nasty bike crash down here in Wanaka on the Dean's Bank mountain bike track. Don't remember much more than waking up to sort of following a minute of unconsciousness, and the recovery from this concussion didn't happen as it should, which led to some subsequent scans, as you've said there, Richard, and that picked up a brain tumour, which was quite a large sort of scattering, not too dissimilar to a snowstorm on the weather map, getting across the right side of the head. Following that discovery, I went through surgery, and that was followed up throughout 2018 with radiation and chemo treatment. And then subsequently after that, we went on to regular routine scanning to keep an eye on things. And it was actually at the start of 2019 that you, Richard, you were down for the running around with the suit on and the microphone for the Motor Tapu, and we rode through that mountain bike course together. And that was sort of a wee entry point back into getting back on the bike, because, you know, there's a lot of people in this world that will sort of tell you what you can't do rather than saying what you can do. We sort of clearly remember sitting with one of those surgeons after this first surgery, and he said, you know, Mr. Sloan, forget your past life. You won't ride your bike again. Just stick to a walk around the block with your wife. And, you know, you were talking before about Deb holding up that big W. I was sort of holding up another sort of symbol, as if to say you've chosen the wrong person to tell that to under the table. And that sort of, you know, motivated me to, you know, there's a lot of things that you can do when you put your mind to it. And actually most recently, just down here in Wanaka, an aviation sort of pioneer, Sir Tim Wallace, he passed away. And one of his sort of resonating quotes is, don't let what you can't do stop you doing what you can. So, you know, getting back on a bike, getting back to exercise, that was, you know, that was fantastic over the last 5-6 years. However, unfortunately, March 2023, a routine scan picked up that this this brain cancer had jumped out of its corner of sitting still and had recurred, because this disease is horrid. It's got no cure. And so I was back into the operating theatre in May 2023. Surgery was carried out. And then sort of surgeons have, unfortunately, it's gone to what they call a higher grade state now. So we're dealing with something that's a wee more angry. So I'm actually halfway through, sort of as Bon Jovi says, we're halfway there. Thursday this week was halfway through 6 rounds of chemo. So 3 down, 3 to go. But it's put a bit of a dampener on training. I would probably be the most mentally well-prepared athlete hitting the course in 2 weeks' time. Sort of the physiology of the body has been pretty tired. I guess I describe it like, you know, you drop a basketball from sort of chest high, it bounces up to your waist. After that first bounce, each other bounce, it's a wee bit lower. That's what we're sort of finding with this treatment at the moment. However, in sort of speaking with the oncology team, asked for a bit of a pause in the treatment to allow me to do the coast in a couple of weeks, 3 weeks now, 2.5, 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And they've said, yep. And, you know, we're playing the long game. And it's actually back to talking with you a couple of years ago, Richard, when this very first cancer occurrence popped up. I remember you saying clearly to me around that Motu Tapu time back in 29, it was, Andy, we're playing the long game. We're playing the long game here. Don't worry about the short things. And I've still got that stuck in my mind, so, you know, your long game. So we are, we're on that long thread of doing what we can and, you know, being the best each day. So, yes, I opportunity sort of popped up, and that's sort of another question that you might have posed to me earlier. And
So it's not like, it's not easy to get to the start line, to obviously come up with the funds and sort of support around doing that. And I think you had a few local friends that, like, actually, why aren't you doing it? And you're like, maybe I should be. And so tell us a little bit about sort of managing to figure that entry out and some support you've had around that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now that sort of goes back to end of 22. So I was a very good friend of mine, her husband, this was from high school days, her husband was lining up for the coast 2022. And he, sorry, 20, the, which one was it put off? Wait a minute.
The COVID one.
He was prepping for that. And I had taken him for a couple of paddles down the river, down the Clutha here. He had done his course with the local kayak instructor and he just needed a few more practice runs. And somehow I got sort of, you know, hey, I'll come for a paddle with you. And that was sort of nice, getting the boat out of the garage after quite a long time hanging up, collecting dust. And so straight back into that. And it wasn't until we're floating down the river, he said, Sloane, have you ever thought about doing this again? And I was like, actually, no, I haven't. But now I'm sort of thinking about that, you know, what's stopping me? And then that was the question. Now, you know, pretty pricey to come up the entry fee and, you know, with health, and wasn't working back full time then. So we had that conversation, and that's sort of where that stopped. And then I was walking, it was actually about the same time the ballots came out last year. We're walking up the street, another friend, you've probably come across Nigel Lyons amongst you, mm-hmm. on your podcast.
Yeah, Nigel, yep. Quite well. Yep.
Nigel had been stopping in at my place picking up some kayak gear, and I was just walking up the street with Cherie, my wife, and he pulls over on the side of the road and he goes, hey, bro, what are you doing? So I'm just out for a walk with the dog, and he goes, those ballot entries open, opening tomorrow. He goes, get your ass onto that computer and sign up. And that's sort of the kick up the ass I needed to, you know, and that sort of was like, oh, why not? What's stopping me? So got on, did the online ballot and put my name in the mix, and it came out. That was awesome. And it was all crikey. And in amongst things, other conversations between, you know, multi-sport circles and that. And I had this message one day from a friend, Graham Allen. He's at Bivouac, and had this message, Sloane, rumour has it you're keen to line up for the coast again. Let me know if I can help you. And I thought that was helping out with maybe support crew, you know, holding my running shoes. And then the conversation continued. And, he said, look, we'd like to help you get on the start line. Part of Bivouac Outdoor, that's the adventure store here, is their sort of motto is committed to adventure. So as soon as he posed that, I was sticking my hand up to commit to their opportunity for me to make it back to the start line, which, you know, incredibly excited to have, you know, not just one, but lots of people behind me backing, you know, yep, you can do this, you know, not limiting and going, hey, you can't do that, you're bloody, you know, you're quite sick and your body's not kicking as it should and could. So, yeah, grateful.
I think your story there, Andy, sort of will resonate with a lot of people out there. There's a lot of people sort of dealing with their own sort of challenges and things like that, but also put it into perspective of it's great to actually just celebrate the fact I'm healthy and well enough to actually be able to do this thing and see if we can put this together. It's that celebration is just as important, isn't it, than sort of doing this particular time or whatever it is, just to actually take a moment for yourself to say, I'm ready for this. What will standing on the start line and crossing the finish line, because I know you're going to, what will that mean to you?
Oh, it's huge. It really is. In fact, you know, that first 20 minutes sitting in the waiting room of your interview studio here, it's sort of like a kid before Christmas. The excitement, I can actually feel that excitement, you know, running through me. You know, as you describe parts of that course, all of that memory is still there from those previous races and events. So, you know, standing on that start line, it's the solitude of standing, just knowing that, hey, this is it. And it's all about, you know, process over outcome in this case. You know, I know that I can, you know, I know what I'm in for. I know the body can do it. You can, you know, factor in all sorts of things to not punish yourself too much on different stages of that race, but just getting out there and enjoying it, because, you know, everybody's journey is different. You've got your front runners, you've got your people that are there to do it, and you've got, I guess that's people like me, I'm there to do it, and also, you know, offering of, you know, just high fives, support, and just pick me ups. You know, I've always got lots of snacks in my pocket, so
there you go. That's a tip. If you see Andy out there, he'll be ready for a high five and probably some shares, some snacks, so make sure they go both ways. Don't just give them all away, hopefully you get some back as well, Andy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I was just thinking that, you know, 18 years is a long time, but the good part of that is that the three R's are all still the same. The roads, the run, and the river—they're all the same as they were 18 years ago. So, well, actually, no, I take that back, actually, because the last road's not the same, is it? But 18 years ago, you'd have finished on the Sumner Beach, not at New Brighton. But however, the three R's are pretty much still the same, which is pretty
absolutely.
Cool.
And it was actually just yesterday when it popped up on the Canterbury Police and the Kathmandu Coast to Coast website about, you know, the rising Waimak River levels. I sort of actually had a nice wee smile at that, because you know, I haven't had an opportunity to get up and get down the Waimak, and that's, to me, that's no problem. You know, I'm a good, confident paddler. I'll happily just, if in doubt, up the cadence, you just paddle. And after the flushing of the floods through, I was like, oh, well, anyone who's been picking their, you know, favourite braids, you know, everything's new to me, so I'm smiling.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's awesome. Yeah. Hey, Andy, thank you so much for joining us, and all the best for the next couple of weeks. I think you've finished chemo rounds. You've got a little break now before you go back to that again. Right?
Yeah, before the next three. Yep. Great. Yeah. And one thing I forgot to add in there also is a big shout out to the Team CP crew, because logistics of me getting to the start line, obviously with the barriers of that part, and then the support crew part, you know, Cherie, my wife, and our three young sons. We've got three boys, you know, 10, 12, and 14. If you can imagine having them sort of reliably organise a smooth transition, they could confidently do it. But there could be any sort of argument that could throw that. So I'm actually grateful that, Richard, you and your crew are going to be looking after all the logistics for me with that. And that's something I'm really absolutely grateful for. So. Yep, shout outs and high fives all around.
Yeah, no, that's good. I'm stoked that we're able to do that, Andy, and looking forward to being part of your journey and helping you get from west to east coast and having a whole bunch of fun along the way.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks heaps, guys, and we'll chat again real soon.
Well done. Thanks, Andy. Absolutely.
Thank you. Inspirational, mate. Thanks, mate. Like, just nice for living, eh? Nice for living, and when you can, and Andrew Sloan there, that's inspirational to, you know, to be getting back on that start line under such trying conditions and things. And it is going to be great to have him as part of our team that we will be supporting. We'll be able to keep an eye on him and see what's going on and maybe learn a tour thing, because he's just come up with the line of the day, really. I'm just sort of slightly modified, but if in doubt, paddle it out, Richard.
Yeah, good. Just keep paddling. Just keep chipping away, and it'll be good. And he'll be having a bunch of smiling heaps as he's doing it as well, which is pretty cool. So, and as he mentioned, those ballot entries are open now. As you're listening to this, watching this, etc. So now's your opportunity to put your name on that ballot. See if it gets pulled out, and then we can figure out how we're going to do it as a secondary thing. But just throw it in there if that's something that you think that you might want to do, and we can sort of help you figure it out after that.
Absolutely. It's I'm sure as soon as the gates open, there'll be floods of entries come back in again, and that wait list will begin, no doubt, all over again. It's pretty exciting to be I guess building for the next year before we're even at finish this year, sort of thing. It's sort of
right.
because it you know, those people that are putting their name in the ballot before they get to the start, they're going to be there somewhere through the weekend, and they'll be getting that hype going on. And as Debs's brother has followed the tradition from support crew to athlete, and I'd love to know, I've asked this before, but I'd love to know what that number conversion ratio is from somebody who's supported to somebody who's ended up being an athlete along the way, mate.
That's right. So speaking of the man in the know and understands what a good ballot looks like and a good wait list, etc., he's the man that's doing a bunch of organizing, trying to pull it together. Glenn Curry, how are you getting on? There is he in the background. There he is. How are you doing, Glenn?
G'day, fellas. How are you?
Good, mate. Good. How are you? You've been a busy lad leading up to this, eh?
Yeah, it's always a busy time of year. The joy of an event is you have 12 months to plan it, but there's certain aspects that you can only do in the last 5 weeks. So that's where we're at now. So, yeah, it's that time of year where we jam everything in that has to be done in the last 5 weeks. But it's a good, fun part of the year, and we're getting excited about hosting an event.
How's it going? Like, how's it shaping up? What's the crack?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I'm always the one that sits here and talks to you lot, but we're actually a team. So there's sort of four of us that work on this thing full time all year. And we've been together now, the team's been together sort of 4 years. So it sort of feels like we're all just chipping away at our parts, and it's coming together. I always talk about it being a big puzzle, and all the pieces are now starting to come together. So it's cool. So as you boys will know, that in Canterbury and New Zealand, for where we are based, we've actually had a good Canterbury summer again. We haven't had one of those for a couple of years. So it's been great. Like, we've had some heat, and the river's been quite stable up to the last 48 hours. And it's been good. So everything's coming coming together, and we're pretty excited about the second weekend of February.
Good stuff. That's awesome. So is there anything different, anything new, anything sort of that you're working on, anything that we need to be aware of from your perspective?
The race is the race, everybody knows that, but we're always tweaking things just to make the logistics around the race, the race's operations a little bit smoother. And that's from outside sources putting pressure on us, and also us just to make things try to run a bit smoother. So, a few minor changes this year, and they're all in the handbook, but, a few things just, a lot of people who turn up to the event have done it year after year, so they miss some of these things. But, a couple of things just to be aware of is that Klondike Corner on the Saturday morning, once you've packed up camp and you've gone to Mount White Bridge, we are asking those support crews not to return to Klondike, just to keep that road clear, especially for our longer stay athletes that are coming through. We did find with a large amount of traffic last year that it was actually, blocking some of our longer stay competitors actually cycling along that route. So we do ask that you pack up in the morning, go to Mount White, transition your competitor, and then you're off down the road to the next transition.
Just on that, Glenn, that support group is going to have to leave pretty early in the morning. Have you got some form of tent for two-day athletes to hang out that's going to be kind of warm? Because it's pretty tough to hang out in the morning there for a while. What happens there?
There is shelter there, Richard, and as always, you have your bag dropped there so you can have all your gear, and that will get taken to the finish line. So there is a large marquee there which you can shelter in, and then again, you obviously have all your equipment, so and whatever you leave in your bag there, that gets taken to the finish line, so you can keep your down jacket with you and stay warm. And then leave it. There'll be a designated drop zone there that'll be scooped up, and it'll be at the finish line for you as always. So, and you can have crews stay there up to 7 a.m. they can stay there, but they won't be the ones that are heading to Mount White Bridge. So they can stay with you. You could stay in the tent there, pack up, and then they carry on. We're just asking that those crews that get down to Mount White, transition their committers, then don't come back at around that 9 a.m. time, just to keep that road, you know, free up a bit of space on that road. So major change, but just a little bit in terms of us, in terms of logistics. Outside of that, most things are similar last year. I've got a list of reminders that I've been told that I had to tell people, you know, just please, make sure you label everything with your race numbers. We get a huge amount of lost property. If your race number's on, it's really simple for us to get that back to you. If it doesn't have a race number on it, it's very difficult. So just, you know, write a race number on things. One thing for the longest day and the three-person teams on the one day is there is a misprint in the handbook for the three-person teams with a cutoff at 8:30 at Aitkins. That is actually, in fact, 9 a.m. So you do have to 9 a.m. to get your team member onto the mountain run. Mm-hmm. Those are sort of the major ones.
Good. That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about the race that's going to be. We talked to Deb Lynch earlier on, and she's pretty fired up, which is awesome. Obviously, you had a good bit of training, understands what the event is about second time around. Tell us a little bit more about those heavy hitters. How's the race shaping up for 2024?
I'm probably 5 years deep in this role now, and I still get excited about this event. And I actually reckon this year, both the male and females, like that, you know, you talk about your heavy hitters, that's that excites me the most. But I'm actually going to start, like, something I'm really excited about and I've worked at this year is creating an under 23 elite category. Yeah, cool. And there's been a few questions around that, and that probably excites me about, you know, as much as anything. I'm going to start with that because multisport's a tough sport in New Zealand. A lot of us are very passionate about it, but in terms of opportunities outside of coast, there's not a lot of opportunities. You know, that we have some really good races and we have some great sort of individual discipline races, but outside of multisport, it's a tough old gig. And pretty much, you know, the pinnacle is winning the longest day coast to coast, I suppose. That's what a lot of young people aim for, but there's not a lot of pathway for that. So we have introduced an under 23 elite field for this in the 2 day category. And I've had a number of people who are, you know, young athletes write to me and say, oh, I want to do the longest day, I'm gonna skip the 2 day. And I sort of look at it and say, look, you've got 15 years of racing, go win the 2 day, you know, have a good crack. So what we're trying to do is give an opportunity for those kids to be, you know, those young people to be recognised for the achievement that is winning the 2 day. So we've got an under 23 field. And I mean, you know, I'm a bit like you, Richard. We're pretty old in this game nowadays, but I can look at that field and recognise a whole lot of names, which really excites me. And, you know, just looking at the female field, we've got, we've got Gina Williams, and she's a coaster, and she's been involved with the coast for a while, and her brother's very well known as a great runner. So, Samantha Fairhill, who's raced last year, and she's just she's 23, and, you know, like, so there's some strong female. And then you look at the young men's field, and you've got names like Sam King, Josh Nicol, Campbell Gray, Ryan Tate, and Finn McKenzie. I mean, these guys are all like incredible athletes, and that's going to be awesome viewing, I reckon, in that 2 day event. And the exciting part about the 2 days, you all know, Richard, is like you finish day one, and then there's a whole lot of little intricacies to that race on the day two about how things are going to pan out to see how that day two goes. So, you know, like Campbell Gray, he's coming down. He won the Moto Challenge this year and beat Sam Clark, and he's, you know, 21, and he's got a heck of a story, which we're about to talk within our media soon about, you know, what he's been through to come out and be the athlete he is. And then you've got Finn McKenzie, who's been racing overseas on mountain bikes. So yeah, you know, that's gonna be pretty cool to watch, I reckon. So yeah, I'm excited about that. But then we go to our elites, and again, I think it's going to be one of the best elite showdowns in, you know, the last 5-6 years. You know, like it's not as clear cut as it usually is, you know, like so I'll start with the female field, you know, and it just goes so deep. And, you know, I'll just list off names. You've got Fiona Dowling, Rebecca Kingsford. We've got Maria Kolk, who's been spending a few days here. She's from Sweden with her husband, Lars, and they're sort of champion Swedish adventure racers. So they're over here to give it a crack. Hannah Lund, who's a local girl where I live, and I know she's going really well. Simone, obviously, you know, like, I mean, she's probably favourite. She has to be favourite. And then, you know, Julia Chamberlain, who was competitive in the Open Women's last year, and she actually would have been competitive in the elites, so she's stepping up to elites. Deb Lynch, you know, like as you guys have talked to, she's there's lots of stories coming out of the course about Deb Lynch times that she's posting, etc. And then there's a lady, Alina Usher, who's turning up for, I think, 19 races. And if anyone would, you know, wanted to ride off Alina, I'd dare them to do it. Yeah. But I mean, if the TAB was, TAB was involved with this, I reckon there'd be 10 cents separating all these ladies. You know, it's going to be who wants the most on the day. It is going to be so good. So, yeah, I'm pretty pumped for that. And I mean, we know that the women's field in the coast is always so close, but yeah, it's sort of eight names deep, and it's going to be who wants it more. And the men's field is actually similar. So I think for the first time, you know, like it's usually two guys you think who're going to battle it out. But when I look at it on paper, you know, I sort of see six or seven that, you know, could win it on the day. So yeah, Sam Manson's obviously coming back. He's favourite. Like Sammy knows how to win it. He's, you know, the 2 years ago, he just got beaten by Dougal, and it was in the last ride. So he's got all the talent. I think he's had a pretty tough year just in terms of illness and stuff. So it's just how his last, you know, sort of months gone, I suppose. It will be a big thing for Sam. And then the Hunt brothers from Australia.
That's what I wanted you to talk about. Yeah, I think we've got a bit of a Aussie New Zealand situation going on here.
There's a bit of a battle there, and I mean, yeah, it is an Aussie New Zealand thing. But I actually gave Alex. I've known Alex for a wee long time now, and I gave him a ride over, gave him a shuttle the other day over the course, and had a yarn. And I mean, he's Australian, but they're actually from Tasmania, so they're almost Kiwis anyway.
You know? I totally agree. Good guys.
It's not quite there, but Alex is in really good form. I mean, Alex is an amazingly talented athlete, and he is actually just, you know, genuinely talented athlete. But he's probably never had the opportunity to put time into the coast course. And if anyone knows the course is just, you've got to understand that course. He just hasn't, you know, it just hasn't worked out for him. And yeah, you know, he'll hate me saying this, but this year he has had the opportunity. So he's been parked up here. He's been training. He's been dedicated to it. And yeah, there's just something in Alex's eyes that says to me that he's, you know, like he's in there for the win. So I mean, it's going to be awesome. And then his brother Robbie, he turned up last year, and he's no slouch as well. So I don't know the last time that we had brothers sort of racing in the longest day like this, but it'll be a good battle, I reckon. And then in the men's field, you've got, you know, Ryan Kiesanowski will be there. You know, like we all know that Ryan knows the course as well as anyone. Hamish Elliott, he's been chipping away. I mean, he's probably the most talented runner in the field. Brad McNamara, he's been solid. You know, he just needs a perfect day. I mentioned Lars Lofgren from Sweden before. So he actually beat Sam Manson in a race that's similar to Coast in Sweden this year, their version of Coast to Coast. And he won by about 20 minutes. He's, you know, incredible talent. It's just what he can learn in the course in the last couple of weeks, really, to get his head around it. And then Ben Phillips, who's actually, you know, he top 20 in the World Ironman Champs this year. And Ben's raced Coast before. And he's, you know, I mean, he'll just, he's underground then. He'll just turn up. But he is a talented athlete. And it's probably, I texted him the other day and just said how many times I've had the goggles on to a paddle and hand over summer. And he said the goggles have been put away and it's all been about the paddle. So Ben will be a real talent as well. So. The beautiful thing about Coast to Coast is it's not a professional sport, but these guys are all trained like professional athletes. And, you know, sport's a lot about extrinsic or intrinsic motivation. And, you know, there's not a lot of extrinsic reward when you race Coast, you know, the Kathmandu Coast to Coast. I mean, it's not, you're not going to become a multimillionaire superstar athlete. It's basically intrinsically, but, you know, it's all intrinsic values to try to win that race. And I think that's what it's going to come down to out of all those males and females. It's going to be who wants it more on the day. And that's what makes the race pretty special, in my opinion, is that these guys aren't racing to be superstars. They're racing just because they really want to own that factor that they've won a longest day coast to coast, which, you know, most people, you know, let's be honest, the majority of the population of the world doesn't know anything about. But within our circle, it's a pretty special thing. So that's what it's going to come down to, I reckon, in the top seven of both the male and female field this year is who wants it the most. So I'm pretty fired up for it.
You're very fired up, aren't you?
Yeah.
I wonder if those Hunt brothers could do as well as a couple of Curry brothers did a few years ago. That'd be interesting.
Yeah, I did mention it to them. I said we couldn't get the 1-2, so we've got the 1-3. But hopefully, I said their headlines probably in the paper won't be as corny as the Curry ones, hopefully, but they'll be probably pretty similar.
Ashburton Garden do a good job of that. That's awesome. How good. What about the ballot? 2025, it's just opened. Tell us what's the story. Is there any changes to the process this time around?
So, I mean, obviously, you know, believe it or not, we do think about this entry system a lot. And we still, we still feel the ballot system is the most fair way of doing it. So we ask, the ballot system is what we're doing this year and it opens soon. As always, we try to get entries out as early as possible because we want people to prep for this event as early as possible. People might question why we do the ballot system. We get more negative feedback about opening entries and just doing it first in, first serve. Not everyone has equal opportunity to get to use the internet and whatnot. Yep. So this way we sort of make it, try to make it as fair as possible. So that's what we do. Couple of changes within the ballot is that you can only choose two events that you'd like to enter this year.
Mm-hmm.
So last year it was probably you could put your name down for every event. So we got, that probably made the number of people sitting on a wait list look quite large. But you can only enter two events. The ballot does close on 21st of February. People who have been in the ballot this year and sat on our wait list, if they miss out on the ballot this year and they have been on the wait, miss out on the ballot to get an entry, they will be prioritised on the wait list straight away. So they'll go to that top of that wait list process. So hopefully they will have a fair shot at it. Grade two certificate. So if you are on the wait list and you miss out, we have three opportunities where there will be other entries offered throughout the year. And if you are offered a position, you must either have your grade two or be able to prove that you're in the process of achieving it. So you should have started that process already. So that's one change for next year. So you can't just sit there until and I think you talked about a competitor before, sort of November and have not made a move on your grade two. You should have been actually processing that already, starting that. So when those waitlist offers will come out on the 4th of April, the 4th of October and the 6th of January. So you should be in the process of working towards a grade two by those dates. Again, we have our longest day elite categories and our elite youth categories. And competitors have an option to enter into those categories later in the year. We have a little bit of criteria around that, but generally, if you've previously participated in the event or have a history in other endurance events, there's an opportunity to enter a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably, otherwise it's a similar system really.
Perfect. Mm,
such a tricky thing, the entry thing, and mate, like you get a little bit of negative feedback over it. I get that. And it's probably, I don't know, is it one of the most pressured parts of the actual whole event is trying to deal with everybody and deal with this entry thing. But, you got a big pat on the back because it's because this event is so iconic and so amazing and inspiring to everybody that everybody just keeps continuing to line up for this event. So certainly got to take that with a it's a bit of a monster, I get that, but everybody out there, please, go easy on these guys that are putting this amazing event on for you all. There's only so much, because you say it every year, limited by doc, right?
And the experience, we could sell thousands of entries for this, and it's what experienced competitors want out there. It's like, do you want to be on Goat Pass with 20,000 people? I know I certainly wouldn't. That's not what the experienced people are looking for. And it is a challenge because we've got a lot of competitors, and I know a lot of them that have done the race year after year, and they want to come back and do it. And they sort of like, well, we've done it year after year and supported the event, and we really, we appreciate that. And then you've got new competitors who say, we really want a shot at this, so who do you prioritise? So, the ballot system is where it's like, right, it's fair. This is how we can do it. It's luck of the draw, and hopefully everybody gets a fair shot. So it's a good problem to have from our end, really. It's great that people are keen to do the event, and it's up to us to do justice to that. Just give the experience that people want, do justice to that. So. Yeah,
nice, and kudos to you and your team about making sure that this is the experience. So I think you guys do a great job of and there's a fair bit of pressure there. So well done. Make sure you pat yourself on the back and hopefully you get the opportunity just to soak it up and enjoy the fact of you've actually allowed this to happen for a whole bunch of people.
Yeah, no, and that's pretty much it. That's quite rewarding. That's why we do it. It's put that experience on for people. It's pretty cool.
Good job. Yeah. Well,
it's, you know, it's world class. We've seen a lot of events. Glenn, you've been to a lot of events. Richard, you know, you've been to China. You've been all over. I've seen lots of events, and it's world class at the start. At, you know, don't have to tell you how iconic that beach run is at the start under the as the sun's coming up and things. But you know, the Klondike Corner and things is just fabulous. Your crew, your team, they're always talking to people. You always see some random athlete obviously got a question, got a something, and one of your crew, you know, standing by having a chat and asking them how their day went and all those sort of things. And that, Glenn, is the experience that everybody wants. That's, you know, as yeah, well,
we're very fortunate. We've got some great humans involved with the race, and a lot of them are ex-athletes, so they understand, you know, they've done the event, so they're trying to give their bit back. So we're lucky for that. And that's it makes one of the highlights of the event is the people you work with, really.
Well done, Glenn. Well, all the best for the next couple of weeks. It's big for athletes, but it's even bigger for you guys. So hopefully that all goes well, and enjoy your sort of day of quiet time when the cell phone switched off as you head over up the Deception and down the Minga, sort of putting your
looking forward to that part, mate. Yeah, and just I'll just touch on the event for 2025, and probably you could talk to this too, Richard. Is that, you know, I hear a lot of feedback about how the Coast to Coast has changed and whatever. And I mean, the reality is the event hasn't changed, you know, and Juddy came up with this event in, you know, the early 1980s, and the event hasn't actually changed. It hasn't got any easier, and it is still a really tough event, and it is a tough event. And, you know, we love people wanting to come and do the event, but if you, you know, if you do it, you have to appreciate that it is a very challenging event, and there is still nothing easy about it. It hasn't actually changed. So, you know, and, you know, I've heard Gurney tell people thousands of times it's about skills, and one of the unique things about Coast is it does involve a skill set, which you know, other endurance events, you know, don't necessarily do. So if you are keen on 2025, you know, like my, you know, like my bit of advice is start working on that skill set now. I always get concerned where I hear people doing grade 2 kayak certificates in December before the event. Mm-hmm. Like, that's far too late. Now's the time to start doing that process. It is tough, it's not easy. Like, the two-day event is a heck of an achievement, and you know, everyone's probably heard the saying that nothing in life's worth what, you know, nothing is worthwhile in life, you know, unless it is difficult, I suppose, or challenging, you know. And Coast is that, like, it is a challenge. So you know, start putting that process in place now, and you'll enjoy the event a heck of a lot more, and the build up to the event. So, you know, I know there's some good coaching companies out there with lots of tips, and there's some good grade 2 providers out there with lots of, you know, rip into that stuff now for 2025. Now's the time to do it. We've still got some summer, and, you know, like, you can build, and then it'll make your winter a lot more pleasant to get out and do some training, and then come and solidify those skills come next summer. So, yeah, now's the time to start building for, you know, 13 months' time, I suppose. So rip in.
Good job. That's great advice. It's so much more fun to practice, learn to paddle a boat when the rivers are warm, rather than you're cracking the ice off the top of them then to go paddling, isn't it?
Yeah, great.
Yeah, good job. Good job. Hey, right on, Glenn.
For our in-house betting, who's going to win? Glenn, come on.
I'll release an article, I reckon, another week, eh? I'm going to do Glenn's picks. But it's pretty exciting, mate. I'm going to throw it out there. I'm going to throw some picks out this year, and just, you know, I'm going to throw my thoughts out there. So. Yeah, but I'll give it another week, Angus. I'll keep everyone on edge for another week. But, it'll be good racing. And just everyone, you know, like all those other people, you know, Andrew Sloan, before I've seen his name forever in multi-sport, and what a story. And that's, you know, that's as important as well. So, yeah, a couple of weeks and we'll get into it, eh?
Yeah, good job. Mate. Well done, Glenn.
Look forward to seeing you over on the coast, mate.
Yeah, look forward to it, boys. Catch us.
Well, thanks, Glenn. Yeah. Man, is he fizzed or what?
No, he's fired up, isn't he? Which is great. That's what you want from your race director. You don't want a tired one. You want one that's fired up and ready to go.
But isn't it just like, you know, like, he's passionate about the event, obviously, but he's genuinely passionate about racing and the guys and the girls and the athletes, like, because, you know, he knows a lot of them, and as do you and I and things, but you just know what's coming, right? You know that storm's coming. You know the challenge is on, and it's the anticipation is getting real.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I do look forward to seeing his pick. See if he's got a roughie or two that might come in, etc. So maybe we need to do the same, Angus.
I didn't hear you on the under 25 elite list.
No, I wasn't on the under 25 list. Oh, no, those guys are probably about 3 and 4 when I first did the race. So maybe less than that. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. This is anyway. Your 10th time, though, nonetheless, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I almost claim all those times, like it must be 20th if I count all the support crew and all the other stuff I've done. I think that's almost harder. So, yeah, no, it's a thing to do in February. Feel a bit weird if it wasn't there in February, that's for sure.
Righto. Well, we're going to round up the Kathmandu Coast to Coast podcast, episode 6, as we are just mere weeks away, days away from the excitement of being over there in Greymouth at registration on the Thursday and then watching the weekend unfold. Richard Greer, what have you got left to do, mate? You like we talk about, you're coming to the start line once again. This is your 10th time. You've done all the events just about along the way. You know, what's going on, mate? Tell me how you're really feeling.
Oh, yeah, like I'm going to try and get down the river. I think that's quite important. It doesn't beat you up quite as much as like a run over Goat Pass does. So definitely keen to do that. And yeah, similar to what Deb said, it's just about getting a bit of spring in your step and getting excited and ready to go and not overdoing it too much. I think it's always tough when you're sort of like you need to put a line under it and to say, right, training's finished, time to get ready to go. So that and probably the other piece is just dialing in gear and getting that stuff sorted as well. Little tweaks. And got a bit of a list on my phone of things that I need to do. So it's probably, those couple of key sessions, getting a spring in my step, but just getting my shit sorted too. So we can go and have a good weekend.
And the good news is for family and friends of athletes out there, you're about to get, your athlete back again in a few weeks' time. He or she will be back at home and will be ready to start earning some brownie points again for all the selfishness that they've given to get themselves to the start line. It's your turn is coming. The brownie points will need to be starting to be accrued again. So get that list of chores ready. Get those places you want to go and see and things that you want to do on a weekend ready because you're
that's right. And if hopefully you've reached for the stop button, the pause button, the sort of turn the volume down if you're listening on the car with your loved one. So
I can't. You're listening harsh. Rich is ready to do those chores around home.
She doesn't listen to this. There's no way that she wants to listen anymore.
Very good. Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us again. Like I say, on the Kathmandu Coast to Coast. This is it. This is the final one before the big race. We look forward to seeing you over in Greymouth. Come and say hi on registration or throughout the weekend. Just come and have a chat. Tell us what you think. If you've listened to the podcast, we really appreciate it all. And we look forward to bringing you some coverage along the weekend. From me, from you, Richard, good luck. See you on the start line.
Good stuff. Well done, team. And a big thanks to Deb, Glenn, and Andy for joining us tonight as well. Well done.
Awesome stuff.
It's the best Kiwi event in New Zealand, this.
Crossing New Zealand in 1 or 2 days.
Why do I do it? Because I love it.
3, 2, 1, go!